So I said to Big Hair, why don't we take this supercars in review thing and go one more step and rate the drivers? To which he said, how? Well, here's how, Niv. It would be simple if we only had to measure one race, but we can't do that since most supercar weekends have more than one race. And this year, it's also been a battle of tyre life. So we have to look at the whole weekend as one picture, and that means one great race can be spoiled by poor effort in another. We also take into account the relative position of each team against the other. And that means that we're not saying Team Sydney is going to be Red Bull Racing Australia. So, how does it work? 10-point weekend would be perfect. Great racecraft, a sensational implementation of strategy, and scoring the best results possible for that car and that team. A 9 or 8's a very good weekend, barely putting a foot wrong on the way to good points haul, but little spots for improvement. 7 and 6 points is around a pass score, we think, with a few mistakes dragging the score down. 5 and below, there's room for improvement. And that is how the Supercars in Review ratings works.
Okay, folks, welcome to episode 2 of the Driver Ratings. I'm Neville Wilkinson, and I'm also joined by Andrew Clark. How are you, Clarky?
Pretty good.
But jumping straight into it, our first person up is Alex Davison, and you've given him a rating of 6.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. The Team Sydney, they're a team that I don't think is giving the right car yet. So the transition from moving to Sydney and then being moved out of Sydney into Brisbane and like on the road and things. So I'm not sure that they've quite got the car at the moment that either Alex or Chris Pithen needs. And I think they're driving above the car. That said, I've given Alex a 6 for the weekend and I've given Chris Pithen a 7. They're in the same car, yet what we got was a much better result out of Chris over the weekend. I mean, we qualified or finished 5th, sorry, on race 13, whereas Alex only managed 16, 17, 24. So quite a disparate difference between the two.
I was going to ask about Chris. Only 7? Dude, he finished 5th in one race. I would have thought he would have gotten more than 7 because he really got the maximum, if not more than what the car would allow him, and he was up there. And I know he was on both the soft tyre strategy, but there's some other guys that were on the same strategy, which I think he just did way better. For what he had, I thought he was he was in a different league.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because he was like effectively 4th out of the soft tyre brigade by finishing 5th in the race. So we had a hard tyre person in between. So kind of flatters it a little bit in terms of that respect. But when you're qualifying 19th, 19th and 23rd, I find it hard to go above 7 if that means anything. Yeah, right. Even though we are trying to remove the driver from the car as such, I don't think the car's that bad. And I think, yeah, we just didn't see enough from the others. I mean, 21st and 21st from the other two races. So
yeah, okay.
7 I'm giving him.
Okay, cool. Moving on, Jake Kostecki, giving him a 6. He was doing okay, but until he got the thump.
Yeah, well, it's very hard to rate him too much because he is a young guy learning the car, learning the circuits and so forth, because he hasn't been to these places before in these cars. So losing that whole race on Saturday costs and it hurts. And we also don't know what sort of damage was left on the car. But, you know, a DNF wasn't so good, but, you know, we had 18th in qualifying, which was probably a little bit overachieving for what I expected from him. But, you know, we just didn't get that consistency across the board. So I think he's got a lot of potential, but I'm still sitting with 6.
So 6 was basically a score because he was doing okay, but because of the accidents that he had with Rick, it was really hard to assess how he really went because you just didn't know what condition the car was in. That's basically what you're saying.
Absolutely. And as I say, he's a learning driver. So, you know, drivers are at different stages of their careers. He is a learning driver. So he needs as much track time as he can get.
Okay, Gary Jacobson, you've given him the same score as Jake, 6.
Yeah, he obviously had more time on the track and he's had more experience in the series than Jake has had. But, you know, 23rd, 22nd and 16th in qualifying. So, yeah, you've got a qualifying average of 20.3. and your finishing average is 17.0. So I'm not sure that we're seeing enough of an improvement there. And I wouldn't want him to be sitting as effectively the last or second last qualifier for too long to be still getting decent marks.
Okay, next on our list, Rick Kelly. You've given him a 5. I've got my ideas why you've given him a 5, but fill us in.
I thought the first race effort was just very clumsy and un-Rick-like. Rick is a very talented, very good driver. I mean, you don't win championships if you're not good. You don't win Bathurst if you're not good. But that was just clumsy as all get out. You know, the first contact with Jack and then the second contact with Jake, I thought just was not Rick. And it ruined weekends for other people. He got a pit lane penalty and he got 15th, 13th and 10th in the three races and was outperformed by his teammate.
All in all, it was a very untidy weekend.
Yeah, I don't think Rick could be overly happy. And I know they've got engine problems with the car that they haven't been able to sort out while they were on this road trip around Australia with the supercar series. But, you know, just that dangerous re-entry just wasn't good enough.
Okay, Andre Heimgartner. His teammate, 7 points. He was good. His qualifying was great. He did well on the Sunday.
Yeah, well, that's primarily it was the Sunday qualifying where he qualified 6th was pretty impressive. But the 13th and 18th on the grid weren't so crash hot. In fact, on average, he qualified behind Rick. But in the races, he finished in front of Rick. And so we've got, you know, 2 top 10 finishes for him. And to me, he didn't set the world on fire, perhaps like he did at Sydney Motorsport Park. And therefore, we're only giving for a 7. So, pass mark.
Well, he didn't do too bad either.
He's a good kid, good driver. And I think there's a lot of potential there. And I think as the Cali team gets on top of its Mustang program, we'll see a lot more from him.
Okay. Next on the list is Team 18. And the first driver on the mark is Mark Winterbottom. Sorry, the pun there, folks. Gave him a 9. I know he did well, but does that deserve a 9?
Absolutely. Given where that car and that team should sit in the pecking order to get those results, you know, the 4th, 11th and 7th. So an average of 7.3 in the finishing order. So he's finished 5th overall in that series. I thought it was just a great effort. And you know, the way he nursed the tyres through the softs, getting through the 3 races over the weekend. So remember, you know, it's not just the 1 race, it's all 3 of them. And I thought it was a pretty impressive effort for that 4th, 11th and 7th.
But to me, it was nuggety effort, right? Because that whole qualifying, I just saw that blue and yellow Irwin everywhere over the whole weekend. He was just always there. And I just, like I said, nuggety.
Yeah, and what was great about it was it was a really good return to form in a sense for him, because at his peak, he was one of the best drivers in the series, qualified like no one else, and he raced, you know, perfectly as well. So it was good to see him getting back there, you know, 4th on the grid and following up with 4th in the race. You know, that's the Frosty we expect. But whether Team 18 is yet ready to deliver that is the other question. Like, they've only just wrapped up to 2 cars this year, so there's still a lot of learning going on there, and they are on the road as well.
Well, he bagged 9 points, which brings us to his teammate, Scott Pye, who you've given him 7.
Yeah, and people will question that, because Scott Pye did get the podium on the Saturday race, but he ran an alternative strategy there. So Frosty went soft then hard, and Scott Pye went hard then soft. And you were clearly better off running the softs for longer than the hards. So I don't think in the end his race result was overly reflective of anything other than that longer run on the soft tyres. But then we've got 16th and 22 for the next 2 races when, you know, Frosty's finishing 11th and 7th. So to me, there was a big gap between the two of them on the Sunday in particular.
Do you reckon he could have done a little bit more with what he had on the Sunday? Is that what you're saying? That's why it's 2 points behind Frosty in that score?
Yes, absolutely. I expect a lot more from him on the Sunday than we got.
Yeah, I like Scott. I think he's got it all happening, you know. Puts it all together.
You can't take any of these ratings to be too personal. It's a rating for a weekend, you know. It's not a rating for life.
I'm thinking the podium would have helped him, though. I think getting a podium, right?
He would have got a 6 otherwise.
But what I'm saying is, as a driver, mentally, you got a podium. Like, you suddenly feel like, I feel like I kind of deserve to be up here, you know. Something to shoot for now, you know.
Yeah, but have a look at it. So if we take his qualifying average for the weekend was 14. Frosty's qualifying average was 9. His finishing order in the race, so his race finish was average of 13.7 and Frosty was 7.3. Absolutely. So Frosty's well in front in terms of the output from the team.
Cool. Now, brings us to BJR, and this is the big four-car team. Three of them went away bent or got bent. Let's start with Nick Percat. You've scored Nick Percat an eight. Fill me in why he's got an eight.
I thought he was the innocent victim in that first race incident, so he really suffered from there. And then we've seen pretty good results for the next two races. So sixth and sixth isn't too bad at all, given where he came from, because I don't reckon that car was that straight, is my gut feel. You know, we know Nick can really perform. I mean, we've seen the last two races at Sydney Motorsport Park where he's got race wins. So I think it was more about where the car was at that sixth and sixth place than where he was at. And I thought he extracted everything he could from the car, given where they'd been.
Well, next is Macaulay Jones, and he's given a five.
Yeah, you can't forgive that crash that he had on Saturday. It's just a silly mistake. You drop a tyre off into the dirt and fire yourself into the wall and give your team a world of pain. And, wasn't really fussed what he did after that. He was always getting a five. But that said, he got a 23rd and an 18th in the Sunday races, so qualified 11th in one of the races. So, you know, he dropped off from qualifying to race and he had a big crash all on his own. So, five.
Bit more
learning. Could be a bit lucky not to have got four.
Bit more learning to be had. Well, Todd Hazelwood, his teammate, you've only given him 1 point more. Why have you given him a six?
Because I thought we didn't see as much from him in the overall rutting because of what happened to the car on Saturday. Probably I might have been a bit generous there in some respects when you look at the data. You know, he's finished 20th and 20th in the two races on Sunday with, you know, after the troubled Saturday. But, like, that car wasn't in too good a shape. So, again, I'm probably giving him a bit of leniency like I gave to Nick because I don't know how good the car was. When you've got a team, and remember we're running smaller numbers as we're on the road, and you've got a team rebuilding completely three cars overnight, is, you know, to get them even back on the track was good, but I'm not sure they were that straight.
Okay. Brings us to Jack Smith, the last of the BJR cars. You've given him a six. Look, he was struggling qualifying, but I thought his speed was okay.
Yeah, on Saturday in particular, he raced okay. You know, so we got a 12th out of the races and we got a 15th in race 15 for the weekend. So, you know, I thought the race return was really good. And I think when he gets on top of that qualifying performance, that single lap that you've got to pull out to get the times, he'll get himself further up the field, and which gets him out of the muck. And then he can go racing a little bit. So to me, six is a reasonably fair reward for what he did on the weekend.
Cool. Okay. Walkinshaw Andretti United. And it brings us to the Chaz. Chaz Mostert, you're giving him eight. He's had a steady weekend. He was up there surprisingly. So it was like the ghost, you know, just suddenly he was there. It's like, oh.
That's exactly how it felt. It was like, you know, I was thinking at one stage, oh, what's happening with Chaz this weekend? And then you look at the things, you say, oh, God, he's running fourth. You know, so it was one of those weekends for Chaz. And this is where it's really hard when we're not at the track because we're not seeing as much about what's going on. All we're seeing is what we're given by the TV or what I can find on one of the two timing screens that I'm watching at the same time as the race is happening. So it kind of felt like a bit of a stealth effort, wasn't it? Like I'm tippy-toeing up on a good result. And he ended up with good results, you know, and it's showing in the championship as well. But, you know, an average race finish of 6.3 puts him effectively third for the weekend in terms of the race average. So that's a pretty good return from a bloke who's, A, learning the car, and, B, you know, the team is evolving and evolving fast, which is interesting. So could have been a good move for him to move.
He's still in the hunt for the championship. He just has to stay within 300 points of the leader going into Bathurst, and he still has a chance.
Yeah, spot on. And he's third in the championship, so he's only 200 points away from the lead. So, yeah, very much so. And to me personally, it's a bit surprising. I didn't expect the Walkinshaw car to be as good as it is this year so far. Ooh. So I hope they keep evolving because it's really good to have Walkinshaws up there.
And brings us to Bryce Forward, his teammate. You scored him a five.
Yeah, it was his home race, you know. We should have done more. It's like the Formula One guys going to their home race. They always want to do better. Bryce, he is a young guy and he's still very much learning. But, you know, 21st, 18th and 19th in the three races with 21, 23 and 22 in qualifying. So we're not getting a good return when you compare to Chas Mostert, who's got the same car. So this is about, you know, what are we doing with the same piece of equipment? And I think he will evolve and he'll come on really strong as the year progresses. And I think next year is what they're looking at for him.
Erebus Motorsport. Anton Di Pasquale, 8 points. I thought he would have almost got a 9. To explain,
this is the one that I really tossed and turned over in a sense. I went 8 and a 9 and a 9 and an 8, and I kept swapping around. The maiden race win obviously is a significant achievement in anybody's career. And yes, he was on softs when the main players were on hards, but he still had to beat other people on softs to get there. So I thought that was a really good effort on his part. I thought the first race on Sunday was really good. So managing the soft tyres that had already had some running and coming home in seventh was a really, really good effort. But the pain that he had to suffer in that third race, you know, he ended up finishing 23rd.
Yes.
And I think my question is how much of that was, oh, this car's a dog and I just lost my enthusiasm?
Well, that's what you're saying. The final race result really hurt him. How far do you reckon he would have had? If to get 9 points, how far in that final race do you think you should have gotten?
I would have hoped for midfield.
Midfield, you would have got another last. Point. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Second last,
yeah.
Is pretty hard to swallow. Second last, I don't care what time.
And if you compare him to the other people who were running similar tyres for the weekend, so James Courtney, for instance, has come second, 12th and 17th. So they've got the same finishing average of 10.3 over the three races. But James hasn't had to come second last to achieve that. So I think there's a little bit of a difference on that front. And as I say, Anton wasn't far away from getting a 9. And you could argue, it'd be easy to put up an argument giving it to him.
Well, it brings us on to his teammate, David Reynolds. You're giving him a 7. Overall, he had a better result than Anton. But what, you felt he should have done more than Anton?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dave Reynolds is nominally the team leader. And he's got for his three top 10 finishes. You know, the average finishing order for him is 7.7, but his best for the weekend was 5. So I think that if Anton hadn't had such a rough third Sunday race, he would have been well in front of him. But even on qualifying performances, you know, Dave Reynolds has done 7, 8 and 9 for his qualifying compared to 6, 3 and 8 for his teammate. So, you know, on all measurable scores, he was outperformed by his teammate. He's got to be less than 8, so 7 it is.
Well, brings us to the next four-car juggernaut of a team, and that is Tickford Racing. And first off the bat, Cameron Borders. He had an okay weekend, 7 enough?
Yeah, well, it wasn't anything spectacular, was it? It was just, you know, it was a bit like Chas Mostert, but without the big surprise. It was only a little surprise. And, you know, we just kind of sat there and said, well, you know, where's Cam this weekend? And, you know, he ends up with an 8th, a 9th, and 11th. So, yeah, ultimately on a measure, he was outperformed by Dave Reynolds, who, to me, the Tickford cars and the Erebus cars are kind of competing at the same level. So, you know, we just, yeah, dropped him down a little bit. So he does get a 7, which is the same as Dave. Given what we'd heard about the lead into Darwin and how good the cars were going to be, it was a bit like,
eh.
Didn't see it.
Obviously, that the monster racing machine didn't have as much fizz as we'd hoped.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Not enough caffeine. Well, there was nowhere near enough caffeine.
I couldn't resist. But yeah. I want fizz. James Courtney, his teammate, 8. 8's enough. That was a really good result. Come on. Second. I thought he might have got a 9 there, but 8, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the other two races are 12th and 17th. So if you balance it out, the interesting thing is if you look at him and Anton Di Pasquale, they both have a finishing average of 10.3 over the weekend. But James has been done without having to finish second last. So, you know, but it wasn't, you know, we didn't get that reward in the first of the Sunday races like we got from Anton. We didn't see him manage those soft tyres really well. We didn't see any gun qualifying performances. I mean, 8th, 12th and 15th. So, you know, not a 9 weekend, but not a 7 weekend. So, therefore, she's an 8.
And then Jack LeBrock, 6 points.
Does feel like it should be Jacques, doesn't it? But anyway, yeah, it's... last time around, he was a race winner, but he was I don't know, floundering a little bit. Didn't help getting knocked off the track by Rick and a couple of other things. But, you know, sometimes you've got to learn how to steer away from trouble and keep clear. So finishing average was okay at 12.3 and his qualifying was 14. So, you know, it wasn't too bad a weekend. But, you know, he's a race winner now. Pressure's on.
He's going to back it up. Okay. Last one of the four Tickford machines, Lee Holdsworth. Same point score as LeBrock. What, you felt it was a little disappointing?
I was expecting quite a lot from Lee this weekend. I mean, and all we got out of his one top 10 finish, you know. So, yeah, it could have been more, should have been more. Yeah. I don't think they ever got the car in the window, the working window. So hopefully they'll get it right for the coming weekend. But it just wasn't there.
The next cab off the rank, if we could call it that nowadays, or the next Uber off the rank, is Jamie Wincup of Red Bull Racing. You scored him an 8.
Yeah, I was pretty tempted to give him a 9, actually. I thought his weekend
I thought he would have gone 7 with all his mistakes.
But they weren't his mistakes if you look at it properly. I mean, being released from pit lane into oncoming traffic, that's not his fault. That's Mark Dutton's fault. So the fact that, you know, that it wasn't his fault, those two incidents in pit lane, is why I haven't punished him too much. I have punished him a little bit. That's why he didn't get a 9.
What, for putting it in the fence?
Yeah, that's only practice.
Fair enough. It's only practice.
But if you wanted to look at it, like, you know, Jamie's won the Triple Crown, so he's won the weekend. He's got, you know, more points than anybody. That pit lane penalty that he had cost him 50 championship points.
I get that.
He would have been an easy round winner without that problem. The crash was just a bit of soft tissue damage, so it wasn't too bad.
I wish my crashes were just soft tissue damage.
Yeah, and yeah, you do too. But in racing terms, I thought he was racing pretty well. I mean, he finished third in the first race and second and first in another two. So at no point in time did he finish lower than third on the track. So, yeah, so he should have had a 9, except for the probably the incident on the Saturday in pit practice was the one that really cost him more so than the pit lane indiscretions.
Okay, which then now brings us to Shane Van Gisbergen. Because he had a really good weekend, you've given him an 8 as well.
Yeah, I think he. It looked like he was so unhappy with the car, yet he still went and raced the ring off it and came home, you know, with a podium in the final race after 11th in the first. Probably in hindsight, I should drop him an extra point or two for what he did to Nick Percat. I thought that was a pretty ordinary effort. And in fact, as we say that, Neville, I am changing him.
Oh, here we go. It's all happening live here. We're going down. Gisberg has just been bumped down to 7 points. Okay. Yeah. This satellite chopping up from outer space right now.
The incident on the Saturday didn't cost his team the way it cost the team that he hit, but it did cost him a pit lane penalty, which dropped him down to 11th on the track by the time they'd rolled it all through. So, you know, yeah, it deserves to be punished for that. I thought it was just a pretty ordinary effort.
Okay. Well.
But he raced well.
He did race well, except for Saturday at the start.
Yeah, but that said, you still look at it, like he's got an average finishing of 6. So in terms of the average finishing, not the points gained, the average finishing position, he was 2nd overall for the weekend in a car that he wasn't happy with. So I think, you know, he raced well, but Saturday is just unforgivable.
Last team off the blocks, and first up is Scott McLaughlin. 7 points you've given him. I reckon it's the rookie errors that cost him some points.
Absolutely. That passing James Courtney before the control line, I don't know how you can forgive that one. And it cost him a lot in terms of the championship, but he was lucky that Jamie Wincup had exactly the same time penalty he had. So in terms of relativity, it didn't hurt him too badly. He did get a race win on the Sunday, but what propped him up from not dropping to 6, which I would have been very tempted to do after that start line incident, was the fact that he qualified on pole for all 3 races. And that's a pretty good achievement in this day and age. And 2 podiums.
His qualifying was exemplary. I think he couldn't fault it, and he just went out and did it.
In terms of qualifying, he's definitely the class of the field at the moment. He gets the most out of that car over one lap than anybody else. But that said, you know, it's not like it's just a qualifying car. He backs it up in the races. And as I said, it would have been, I think, 6th and 1st and 2nd it would have been for the 3 races, and he would have been comfortably in front of most people.
Well, talking about classy performances, it brings us to our last driver, Fabian Coulthard. 9 points, I would have almost given him a 10 because he just did a fantastic job all weekend. I agree. There's only two drivers that got 9 points this round. One of them is Mark Winterbottom. Fabian Coulthard well deserved that.
He did, and he might have got 10 if he hadn't locked that front left going into turn one.
Bugger!
It cost him positions on the track to Jamie Wincup, and I thought that was just a bit costly for him there. So I did like the fact that he said he was doing it for the dads. I mean, that impresses me. But, 9 points, a good return to form. I mean, I think we spoke earlier in the year on one of our other podcasts about how that team really needed Fabian to step up from where he had been late last year. And he's done that so far. He's been really good in the last couple of rounds, and he was easily the best in the field, I thought, of this weekend.
So, yeah, I just thought it was from Sydney Motorsport Park to Hidden Valley. You see a different Fabian Coulthard. It was really good to see.
Yeah, and it is. It's great. It's good for the team, but it's good for him as well. I mean, he's a nice bloke when he's up there winning. He's certainly got all the right moves and the right statements to make to the world, but it's also good just to have other faces up there. And we didn't really see him much last year. So it's good to see him up there and winning and providing the support that the team needs.
Okay. Well, okay, folks. That's the point score for our Hidden Valley, the first leg of the doubleheader. What's the overall point score? Give us a bit of a rundown.
So as you know, there's no point in giving numbers to something if we don't put a cumulative score in place because we want to crown our own little champion, our own little Supercars in Preview driver rating champion. And at the moment, heading the field is Scott McLaughlin on 34 points, two ahead of Jamie Wincup on 32. But then we've got congestion. Nick Percat, Mark Winterbottom, Chaz Mostert all on 30 points. So they're the class of the field at the moment as far as I see it. Other people may disagree, and I'm quite happy for people to jump onto our Facebook page and load me their thoughts or download their thoughts on me, whichever way you want to look at it.
So where do they go to this Facebook page? Put a shout out there.
Supercars in Preview and Review is the title of the page.
Okay, get on there, give us some questions, give us your opinions, and we'll probably even read some of them out. I just wanted to give a shout out to, if you want to keep up to date with what's going on, we've got our reviews and previews. We just put out a review of the last Hidden Valley round. So if you want to know all the ins and outs and all the strategies and what actually happens, we crunch that down blow by blow pretty much in our review show. But I just want to let people know our preview show, which will happen after next weekend, leg two of the Hidden Valley. Our preview show for the Townsville will be coming up, and we have Anton Di Pasquale joining us for that. So I'm pretty excited. Can't wait for that one. But anyway, thank you for listening, and good night, everybody.